Welcome to the Daily Dad Podcast, where we provide one lesson every single day to help you with your most important job, being a parent. I'm Ryan Holiday, and I draw these lessons from ancient philosophy, modern psychology, practical wisdom, and insights from parents just like you all over the world. Thank you for listening, and we hope this helps. Every day I get a little email in my inbox from Storyworth. My wife gave me a subscription to Storyworth as a present a few years ago, and it's really cool. You answer these questions, and then it puts it all together in this awesome book of memories that hopefully my kids will have one day. Storyworth is basically an online service that helps you and your loved ones connect through sharing stories and moments. Every week, Storyworth emails your loved one a unique prompt of your choice from a vast pool of thought-provoking questions like, what's your fondest childhood memory? When did you and your spouse meet? What's the best advice you've ever received? You answer the questions and it compiles it into something that's really awesome. There's even a Storyworth podcast that spotlights actual Storyworth customers who volunteer to share their stories with you. And I think it helps inspire better and more meaningful answers. Storyworth helps bring you closer to your loved ones. Learn all about the stories you can discover together at storyworth.com/dailydad. That's storyworth.com/dailydad to learn about all the stories you can discover together. Endless homework, pop quizzes, tests to study for. It's back to school season, and our friends at OutSchool can help set learning free for your kids. OutSchool offers live, online, and interactive classes for kids 3 to 18. With the widest variety of subjects and teachers, they have something for any kid. From solving magical math mysteries, creating unicorn art, experimenting with edible chemistry, kids can find answers that will fuel their imagination and help them excel at OutSchool. Each kid has their own unique way of learning, and that's why OutSchool offers live classes with flexible schedules, learning pods, one-on-one tutoring, and more. OutSchool's learning environment is fun, friendly, and connects kids with teachers and other kids from all over the world. A whole new community of new friends is just a click away. Set learning free. Head over to outschool.com/dailydad and use code DAILYDAD to learn more and save $15 on your kid's first class. That's outschool.com/dailydad to save $15 on your kid's first class. outschool.com/dailydad, code DAILYDAD. My kids were being crazy the other day, and it's clear that they were a little screen sick, too much time on the screen. So I went out to the car and grabbed something that had come a few days earlier, which is actually today's sponsor, KiwiCo. We had a Kiwi kit in the mail, and we ended up spending the next hour building these two squirt gun super soaker things out of foam. And we just had an amazing time, as we always do when we do a Kiwi kit together. You know, KiwiCo's mission is defining the future of play by making it engaging and enriching and seriously entertaining. It's just an awesome subscription service. It delivers super cool projects for you to do with your family, with your kids, whatever their ages are. They get super cool hands-on science, art, and geography projects delivered to your door every month. I know my kids just love getting anything in the mail, let alone something we can build and do together. The materials are always super high quality. The instructions are good. It's just a lot of fun. You can cultivate your child's natural creativity and curiosity with new projects every month, explore new worlds, and rediscover familiar ones without leaving home. Plus, you get the moment of pride and accomplishment at the end of a Kiwi kit when you've done something awesome together. Spark the love of learning today with a KiwiCo subscription. Get 50% off your first month plus free shipping on any crate line with code DAILYDAD at KiwiCo.com. That's 50% off your first month at KiwiCo.com. Promo code DAILYDAD. You've probably seen me in a bunch of the Daily Stoic and Daily Dad videos over the years wearing a blue hat. That hat is made by today's sponsor, Melon. When I'm putting on a hat, I don't usually want it to have a bunch of brands on it. I want it to last. I want it to be durable. I want it to be able to get wet, which is why I love today's sponsor. Melon makes premium hats designed for performance, the last hat you'll ever need, built to last. Melon is giving Daily Dad listeners an exclusive offer of 20% off your first order. Go to melon.com/dailydad and use code DAILYDAD for 20% off. If it doesn't become your new favorite hat, send it back for a full refund, no questions asked. Again, that's melon.com/dailydad and use code DAILYDAD for 20% off. Pick one up and let me know what y'all think. Hey, it's Ryan. Welcome to another weekend episode of the Daily Dad Podcast. A few months ago, my friend Austin Kleon came by the Painted Porch. We had lunch from Basecamp, the deli I love across the street. And we had an in-depth conversation about how you balance being ambitious, being creative, being an artist, and being present for your kids. And I've written before about Austin's concept of work, family, scene, how you have to pick two. I think that's a key part of what we talk about here at Daily Dad. I also really like his thoughts on how your family should inform your work rather than take you away from it, and the importance of creating the right atmosphere, the right creative environment, the right mood in your house, and of course, how to lead by example and teach creativity to your kids. This is a wonderful little interview we did, just riffing on the back porch, and I wanted to share it with you because I think whatever you do, whether you're an artist or an entrepreneur, an executive or a stay-at-home parent, I think there's some real value in here. And thanks to Austin for coming by. I carry his books at the Painted Porch, Show Your Work, Keep Going, Steal Like an Artist. One of my favorite writers of creativity, period. You'll really like his stuff. And if you've got kids who are creative, you know, let's say 10 and above, I think this work will be very well suited to them as well. So check it out. Thanks to Austin Kleon. And here's some thoughts on parenting and creativity.
I want them to see me like attempting new things and to not be great at it right away. I think that as a parent, you can show them that I'm just a student of life too. Like I didn't, you know, there's a great line with Kurt Vonnegut. He said, whenever his kids used to complain to him about the state of the universe, he'd say, what do you want me to do? I just got here too, you know? And so that's kind of the way I feel with my kids. It's like, look, I just got here too. Let's figure it out together. So you hear that? That phrase, the pram in the hall is the enemy of good art, that like haunted me when I was younger because I knew I wanted to have a family. I knew I wanted to be married. And, you know, there's just so many other great examples of writers who have managed to have rich family lives and rich creative lives. And there's even a few rare birds that talk about how their family life has actually been influential on their creative work. So you have someone like J.G. Ballard, who was a widower, who said it was beautiful being in the worlds of my children and it helped me, you know, create my own world. So I think that's why it's really important to pay a lot of attention to women artists, women who are mothers and artists, because historically they've had to do more work in integrating their family life and their work. And so I look to people like Ruth Awa, Ursula K. Le Guin, people like that who managed to have rich domestic lives and rich artistic lives.
You know that story about Toni Morrison? She would get up super early. Yeah. She said she would try to write before she heard the word mom. So like obviously that's a lot of pressure. That's difficult. But I also imagine that was a forcing function that forced her not to waste time to really think about what she was wanting to do and to sort of trim the fat out of the creative process also.
Yeah. The thing I really am inspired by as far as Toni Morrison goes is I've always been interested in this idea of genius versus senius. So the old idea of creativity is like it comes from a great special person, a genius, you know, and you have to block yourself off from life in order to bring forth your work. There's another way of thinking about creative work that comes to us from Brian Eno, and what he says is that it's more about senius. Senius is the collective form of genius. So when Toni Morrison was asked, well, what was your scene when you were working? She said other single moms, because what they would do is they'd watch their kids for each other and then they could get the writing done. And so I find a lot of inspiration there in that it does take a village.
When I'd written two books, I moved to Austin and I didn't have a family. You gave me this piece of advice. You said work, family, scene, pick two. What does that mean?
So one of my favorite poems is from a guy named Kenneth Koch. And he says, you want a social life with friends, And what is more, you'd like to work every day. Well, the poem sort of says, well, you have to pick two. You basically, you can have work and family and not a really wild social life, or you can have work and a wild social life, but you're not gonna have much family, or you can have a family and a social life and you're not gonna work much. So you have to pick two. You can have everything, just not at once. And this is particularly true when your kids are really little. Like when my kids were really little, it was like, okay, it's work and it's family. But then everything changes because when your kids get older, then they have a scene and you have a scene and then you can kind of like integrate it more. But in the beginning, you have to pick two.
I also feel like I would put social media under the scene. Like people are like, I don't have time to work. Right. Or I don't have time to read. And then I'm like, here you are watching this video on social media. You definitely have time.
Yeah. There's not a creative person alive that didn't make time. You know, I mean, time is the great material that we have as human beings to use. And instead of finding time, it's really about making time. I always remind myself that I have the same amount of hours that Da Vinci had, you know, and when Da Vinci rolled out of bed, he'd make a list of things they wanted to learn. And, you know, I roll out of bed and I look at my phone. You know, or I try not to. But like, that's the thing, you know, it's like human beings, you only have a certain amount of time here. And so you just have to prioritize. And every creative person who's ever lived has had to make time, not just find the time, but make the time, set the time aside and be there for their work.
Do you know Da Vinci's last words, like in his notebook?
No, I don't remember.
He's writing, he's working. Yeah, the soup is getting cold. He's like, what I love, because one of my favorite Marcus Aurelius quotes is he says like, people who love what they do forget even to sleep and eat. I just love the idea. He's so consumed with his writing. He's like, oh shit, the soup's getting cold. I gotta stop. And then he goes and eats. Like, I love, to me, that's such a great encapsulation of the flow state that an artist gets into or a creator gets into, that you forget, shit, I just made soup.
So one of the things about being a creative person for me, or really just a person in general, is you just have to get the right role models. Because for every person like Cyril Connolly who says the pram in the hall is the enemy of great art, there's like another person that's been able to integrate it, right? So you just have to find like the right person with the right mindset that like meshes together with the kind of life you want to lead. Like, you know, when you think about a lot of artists, they're like, don't interrupt me. I can't have any interruptions, you know? But then you have a really great writer like Wendell Berry, who talks in this way about work and family, that the interruptions are actually what gives the work meaning. And I'll just leave it at that. Like, the interruption is the thing that actually gives the work meaning. It's that the work is supposed to be for the life, you know, and they're supposed to be in harmony together.
Yeah, I forget what writer, he was saying that early on in his career, someone told him that every kid you have is a book you won't write, which is like
Michael Chabon.
Is a terribly dark thing to tell a person, and I think about the dark place that the person who said that must have been coming from. And I think Chabon says this, I've certainly found it, is that that's a great trait. I would take that trait any day. Yeah. Two more books, but I don't have my kids. What kind of shitty deal is that?
Yeah. I would gladly trade. I love my children, but I'm not an evangelist for having children. But I would gladly trade 4, 5, 6, 7, 10 books for them, you know? I mean, like, I always get, like, itchy when people refer to their books as their children. I'm like, they just don't seem... The way they seem similar is that there's a lot of really painful work to bring them there, but then their life only begins. Like, that's when the real work begins, when they're in the world. But I just don't know.
So speaking of making time, my favorite Seneca line is, it's not that life is short, it's that we waste a lot of it. So again, like people, I hear people talking about like, oh, I'm gonna be able to write full time. I don't know what these people do all day that they don't manage to make time for this thing that they say is so important to them. Like, I like your distinction, no one gives you time, you have to make time for whatever it is that you say you were meant to do, or that you have to do, or that it's important for you to make time.
I think people just want to be writers with like a capital W. Like they just, or they like are artists with a capital A, but like the writing part, art making part, I don't know about that part. You know, it's like, you need to fall in love with the verb, not the noun. You know, you need to fall in love with the everyday texture of the work that you need doing. And I just feel in my own life that discipline is really easy when there's desire. Like, when I want to do something really badly, like, it's very easy for me to be disciplined. And so I just have never had trouble finding an hour to write. Even when I had day jobs, it was never a problem because it's what I wanted to do, you know? And so sometimes I think, you know, the desire has to be there before the discipline can be there.
But what do you think of Stephen Pressfield's idea of the resistance, that there's something, you have the desire, you have the dream, and then there's the product that comes out of the other side, but there's thing that gets in between you and that. Procrastination, resistance, fear, doubt.
I think just so many of the hangups that adult people have in being creative, I'm just like, it's just not there for children. I don't detect it in children. Like a kid doesn't sit there and say, well, you know, I'll make this drawing when I have the right crayons and I have the right, you know, block of time set aside. Like, being around my children has actually been incredibly meaningful for me as a creative person, because they just don't worry about, oh, there's crayons, there's paper here, let's work, you know? And I just, there's a simplicity to that that's extremely infectious for my own work. I also think that most people just, they think they need more, they're thinking too big. Like, when people have babies, they're like, well, how am I gonna write now? I'm like, well, you're gonna do the one-armed miniature version of writing. You're gonna like have a kid in one arm and be rocking him, and then like maybe typing some notes in your iPhone or something, or just reading or something, you know? You're gonna do the one-armed miniature version for a while, and then they're gonna be able to take a nap and stuff like that, and then they'll get bigger, and then they'll go to school, and you know, your life will change then, you know? But it's like, to do the little thing first, to do the one-armed miniature version thing and then build up to it. I think that's the thing. Like, everybody wants to make a feature movie right now. It's like, no, shoot some TikTok videos on your iPhone first.
What's the best piece of parenting advice you've ever written?
When I went on book tour for Steal Like an Artist, my wife was pregnant with our first kid, and I asked everyone for parenting advice. It was all different. Everyone had a different piece of advice. And I usually ask people on planes when I discovered they were parents. There was one guy, he looked over at me, put his seatbelt on, and he said, strap in. And that honestly has been the best advice. But I take it as like it's a good metaphor, because for me, the problem with a lot of parents, and particularly fathers, is that you start out and there's like all this stuff you're gonna teach them. I'm gonna teach them to ride a bike, I'm gonna teach them to throw a baseball. I mean, like, impart all this wisdom to them. And I would say the best thing that I've done as a parent is to assume that they're going to teach me just as much as I'm going to teach them. And so instead of worrying about imparting wisdom directly to my kids or trying to teach them things directly, I'm very invested in creating an environment in which they can learn the things that they need to learn. So making that mental adjustment of like doing direct teaching, direct imparting, versus creating an atmosphere. I'm going to create a healthy learning environment for them to become the human that they need to be. It's almost like, don't think about being a classroom teacher, think more of like being a librarian. Someone who like makes a space in which people can learn and become who they need to be, rather than we have a lesson plan with strict guidelines and like, things that you have to...
You like books about trucks? Let me show you this section of books on trucks.
Yeah, exactly. Oh, you want to read about trucks? We have books about trucks. We have some music that's been written about trucks. We got a couple of movies that have trucks in them. And if you're interested in trucks, you might be interested in three-wheelers, right?
What do you think of the Bruce Springsteen thing? He has this distinction. He says, ancestor or ghost, what are you gonna be for your kids? I thought that was very haunting.
I'm going to be a ghost. I'm gonna haunt them. My dad, you know, it's funny, my dad's still alive. I'm interested in the weird Jedi mind tricks of parenting. Like, there is a saying that repetition is the mother of all learning, and my parents repeated themselves constantly. Like, one of the things my mom used to say is, garbage in, garbage out, over and over and over again. And then my dad used to say, son, no matter how much you make, live below your means. And he would just repeat this over and over again until I was like, rolling my eyes or whatever. Well, both those lines are in Steal Like an Artist, actually. It's the stuff that gets repeated over and over. It's almost like a Jedi mind trick for parenting. It's like, eventually you hear it, but it doesn't sink in until you're ready for it, you know? And so it's okay to say things to your kids, and it's okay to have messages, just so you know that it might not sink in today. It might sink on down the road.
Yeah, there's a story about Jack Harbaugh, the football coach. Every day he would drop his kids off at school and he'd say some ridiculous saying. I forget what it was. It's like, we're gonna attack the day like a bag of wooden nickels, or, you know, some nonsense thing that parents say.
Yeah.
It's every day for 15 years, and they never once acknowledged it. They didn't even roll, they're just like, just in one ear, out the other. And then he watches his son gets a job at Stanford, what becomes a head coach of some football team. And his opening press conference, you know, are you ready to take on this job, coach? And he says the exact expression the first time. And he's like, oh my God, they were listening the whole time. So even if they don't acknowledge it, even if they tell you this, the dumbest thing they've ever heard in their lives, it is sinking in at some subconscious level, which I think is both inspiring, but then also sobering, because you're like, oh, they're also unconsciously repeating. What am I, things I say all the time that I don't even think about are also sinking in, whether that's negative talk or, you know.
Well, I think Jim Henson said that kids don't remember what you tell them, they remember who you are. And problem with being a parent is you kind of have to become the kind of human being you'd like them to be, which is extremely hard work. You either have to do that or just put them around people, the kind of people that you wish they'd be. You know, you can if you need to offload the effort, I suppose you can. But for me, that's been the hardest thing. It's like, how do I turn myself into the kind of person that I want my sons to be? And it's just every day you get up and every day you fail and every day you just go at it again. My big problem with being a parent is I don't see any mastery ahead of me. I don't think it's possible to become a master as a parent. Maybe if you've had like 10 or something. Because, you know, being a parent is like being a perpetual amateur, in that the minute you think you have anything figured out, the kid changes or the world changes or you change. And so it's just this constant, if you can see yourself as a learner, as a student beside them, if you can let yourselves teach each other what you need, it just sets yourself up with such a much richer field of possibilities and the chance to actually, you know, succeed and feel good about stuff.
Yeah, I had the founder of Shopify on the podcast, and he was talking about the difference between infinite and finite games.
Oh yeah,
and that we show our kids that education is a finite game, that it's this thing you do for a few years rather than modeling that it's an infinite game.
Mm-hmm.
And so, like, how are you showing, like, the fact that you're showing your kids that you're struggling at this, that you're learning, that you're getting better, even at being a parent, is also a way to teach them that education is a lifelong process and that we're students of these things, that we never really graduate, that we're always getting better at them, as opposed to projecting this false image to your kid that you have it all under control, that you figured it all out, because of course you don't. But even if you did, you would be sending them the wrong message.
Right. I mean, I try to make sure that my kids see me working as much as they can. They see me open my notebook every day. They see me draw and write every day. They also listen to me practice the piano. And I try to be very clear with them, like, I'm trying to learn this piece. It's really hard, but I just know if I put the effort in and I play this a million times, it'll come out right. I just got into having a bicycle. I just bought a bicycle. And my kids, the other day, my son said, "You look so stupid, Dad. You look like Blippi. You look like Blippi when you get on the bike. I don't know why you do this."
How do you look like Blippi when you're on the bike?
Because I have a big yellow helmet on. "You look so stupid, Dad. You look like Blippi." And it's like, okay. You know, but I want them to see me like attempting new things and to not be great at it right away. I think that, you know, the more, as a parent, you can show them that I'm just a student of life too. Like, I didn't, you know, there's a great line with Kurt Vonnegut. He said, whenever his kids used to complain to him about the state of the universe, he'd say, "What do you want me to do? I just got here too," you know? And so that's kind of the way I feel with my kids. It's like, look, I just got here too. Let's figure it out together.
Hey, thanks for listening to the Daily Dad Podcast. You can get this via email every day as well at dailydad.com. Please leave us a review in iTunes. And most importantly, if you know any dads or parents who would benefit from these messages, please spread the word. Thanks.